Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get
better and better.
We get
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Thursday. It's Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, producing and engineering a loaded program for you. We'll talk some Nebraska basketball. Can they? Will they? Get back on the winning track in Evanston tonight. Standout Nebraska basketball player, part of that number three seed team, Bo Reed, with us in 15 minutes. Bo is on his way to Norfolk, so Godspeed with that. Cell phone permitting, Bo Reed with us in 15 minutes. We'll talk recruiting. We got a great perspective from Jerry DiNardo yesterday on what coaches go through. We'll talk more about that 12th hour, that emotional roller coaster you're on as a coach. A lot of times, Gary Barnett going to be with us in hour two. Jacob Padilla of HaleVarsity.com and Magazine, get his preview of Nebraska Northwestern. So plenty of hoops to get into. We'll talk some NFL and, of course, some Nebraska football recruiting is on the minds of many right now, as we get closer and closer to it. A week ago, or a week from yesterday, is signing day, and a big-time blowout show for Hale Varsity expected for you next Wednesday for sure. You'll want to tune into here across the network. So, Jay, I know you are a measured dude when it comes to recruiting. I'm pretty measured, too, with the hype. Now, I am a part of the hype. The excitement level does kind of amp up for a lot of the fans in Nebraska with just some of the kids. When you look at the stars and the names and the peer groups recruiting these kids. And, you know, Vogue's had a really good write-up yesterday. You know, how much talent do you need to win a conference? That was his story. That was his column. And he put some numbers down on paper that he's great with doing. I kind of touched on it yesterday. I wanted to get your perspective here to start out. You have a unique perspective because of the levels you've performed at. And that being said, did you ever think about some of the kids, like your recruiting class? Mm-hmm. Did you think about some of the guys that you came in with? I mean, as a group, did you guys get together ever? And I'm not asking about the old American pie, pinky swear thing, but hey, what can we do for this program? Is that something that was even conscious, or is that just something that's kind of more fan and fan base collective, when they look at it and say, okay, look at this group of kids, how do they pan out? And you do it a lot during the season or at the end of the year. You kind of go back and look and kind of check out who panned out, who didn't, mm-hmm. recruiting-wise. As you come in with a class, I mean, there's a bond. There's a tightness, I would think. Is that true?
Yeah, there's some. But again, you know, you come in. I know you have your group of guys that you kind of roll with. When you first get in there, you start, you know, working out during the summers. You know, I think things are a little differently now, because I know now kids, when they're thrown into, they kind of start working out, they go right into summer school too. So I know there's a lot in their plate when they're coming in. You know, back when, you know, in 2002, you know, that summer, you know, we just showed up to work out. I mean, I would work a job in Omaha, helped out landscaping for my summer job, and then I drove down to work out in the afternoon with the football team.
Okay.
And I'd drive home. You know, some kids were staying here because obviously they're not from the state of Nebraska. But it just depends. There was a group of guys I know I was pretty close with, like Jermaine Leslie, who was offensive lineman out of Texas, who would have been a hell of a football player.
Is that Big Smooth?
No, that was Jermaine Leslie. Like he was. See, I hung out with a lot of these guys because they're all on the same floor of the dorm.
Gotcha.
So it was like me and Jermaine and Smooth. They were roommates. Fabian Washington was on our dorm floor. So you always hung out on those guys a lot just because.
Just like a normal college kid.
Exactly.
You meet some folks across
the
hall.
I mean, you're around those guys, you know, a lot, especially when you're stuck in study hall. your first year, unless you got like a 3.5 GPA, which I did not. I think only one or two guys may have done that. It's like Kurt Mann and Dane Todd, because
they're both smart.
Very smart kids. They are able to get out the spring semester. So we were stuck in those study halls too. So it just, but I'll be honest, the talk of
let's be the class
that turns, not really, because I mean, realistically, when I rolled in, we just played for a national championship. You know, against Miami, we obviously got our asses kicked, but it was.
Don't feel bad.
Right. I mean, but we weren't that far off. I mean, that next year we had a down year. You go 7-7, you have a new quarterback, you have Jamal Lord who plays in a Heisman Trophy winner. Things are different, but you saw a lot of change and come in. And then in 2003, you get better. And obviously, then you have the huge switch, and everyone's kind of like, you know, what the hell is going on now? But we never had that talk. I'm sure some kids do. Some guys, I wouldn't be surprised if they did or didn't. But again, I always say you always have so much stuff going on. You're always, when you're a freshman, man, you're kind of just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and you're just kind of yes, sir, no, sir. I'll be on time. Just let me know where I need to be. I'll do my best, because you just got a lot. I mean, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's like I said, it's like, you know, trying to get a drink out of a fire hydrant sometimes. It's a lot of stuff coming at you, and you're just trying to keep up. Well, so it can be a challenge. But I think some of these guys, you know, especially now, with Nebraska kind of being out of that national spotlight here for a little bit, they can, you know, these California kids, you know, I could see someone like that from a region. I think looking back at my classes, you know, we had so many Nebraska kids. I think out of my class, we had at least six, maybe even more, maybe eight, you know, commits out of the state of Nebraska. Myself, Harrion, Andrew Shanley, mm-hmm. Horn, LaFleur, I know I missed Kurt Mann.
And then the defensive tackle, too, you had. Kid who ended up Randy, Teamer.
Teamer, he was a year later.
Okay.
He was an 03, but I'm just thinking, you know, you always had your sense of pride and as a Nebraska kid, but you just did what you did.
How huge do you think this class is with the potential you have out there to get more California kids, the number of California mm-hmm. kids you've already landed? How huge is this for Riley? I know it's year two, and I'm not talking long-term future. I'm just talking about planting that flag. He's done it, but mm-hmm. if you have success with these California kids a year or two down the road, could Nebraska end up, I don't know, opening a West office in California? I mean, is does that ride on this class is my question.
Potentially. I think if you land, I mean, let's say you get
Or is that too much drama attached to it?
I don't know if it's too much drama, but you look at, okay, so you got, I don't know how many kids. Obviously, Keyshawn and Jebby already here. You got some other kids out there, but potentially of Lewis and what's the other athlete that's at the Hawkins?
Joseph Lewis.
And the other kid, I guess. Yeah. He's the same. I don't know. I'm not the biggest, recruiting guy here, so the names always slip me. But you get some of those guys, and you start to – the biggest thing is how successful are those guys? I think when you get a – not everyone's going to be coming here to play as a true freshman, play as a redshirt freshman, be really successful. You might have guys only play 1 or 2 years. But if you have kids that come in here and they're able to play as true freshmen and have an immediate impact, I think that will make you talk about regionally recruiting. I think that'll have a bigger impact than winning, you know, national championships, stuff like that. You want to talk about impact. You know, you start winning championships, that's going to impact everything. But if you want to talk about regionally, that California connection, those kids start playing immediately and making an impact, that could definitely, you know, you could benefit from some dividends later on.
That'll show other California kids, look, can come out to Nebraska, perform well, and move on to the next level. Right now, just the two you have here, Jebbia and Keyshawn Johnson Jr., but and Tyjon Lindsey, kind of the Vegas, California mm-hmm. area. But Calvin's a California kid, Joseph Lewis, California kid, Brian Thompson, California kid, Elijah Blades, California mm-hmm. kid, Lenora, California kid, and then you have Greg Johnson and Jeremiah Hawkins.
That's the guy. Greg Johnson's kid I couldn't think of.
Yeah, he's sick. He's mm-hmm. incredible. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about one of the kids that has reopened his recruitment. You've seen a little bit of film on him. He is a 6'3", 170-pound quarterback, Elijah Blades. Now, TJ and I have been talking quite a bit Tuesday and Wednesday about just kind of which way the wind is blowing on blades. And I'm going to go ahead and toot the old tuba here that I thought he was going to end up with Nebraska. Now, he has not committed to Nebraska. Elijah Blades has not, but he has decommitted from Florida. And this is so close to signing day for a guy who's been locked in with Florida, kid that's out of Pasadena, to finally say, you know, look, Florida, you're still on my radar, babe, but I'm opening my recruitment again. And that happened last night. And he's the Nebraska needs corners, yes. But you look at a guy like Blades and like Lenore, if you get both those cats, I mean, you're flying because they're really, really talented. And on paper, it looks like they'll have a shot to come in and contribute right away because they're that athletically gifted. That's high praise. You know that a lot of times it takes a couple of years, you redshirt, all that good stuff to actually get on the field and contribute. But when I look at this kid, Blades, and where Nebraska's at, it really comes down to Dante Williams. And the thing about Williams is he was in there early, like freshman year, sophomore year of high school, offered Blades. Blades was interested in Arizona really heavy. And now this thing could pay off. This hire by Riley is there to do a lot of things with the California connection, and that's get Blades for sure if you're Dante Williams. See what you can do about Lewis. See what you can do about Thompson. Keith Williams obviously working there too. But the ammo Nebraska has specifically to close out West is going to be impressive. We'll see what happens here. But the teams that are in the running here by Blades, and he'll be a signing day decision, SC, Florida, Oregon, Nebraska, Georgia. And the more I look at this, the more I think about it, it is going to be down between Nebraska and Florida. I think the fact that SC and Georgia and Oregon were included in on this, that's nice. They're nice schools to have in there. And it's all well and good, but come on. If he would have backed away, if he was really, truly interested in SC being a Pasadena kid, he would have flipped away a long time ago, in my opinion, to SC away from Florida. Now he's hearing that Dante Williams stuff and that stuff being, come on out to the corn, go play. And it'll be an official announcement. We'll talk to Coach Barnett about it, but do you remember being around coaches near signing day, around signing day?
No.
They were hiding.
Well, I mean, there was, don't waste your time, you know.
I'm saying, could you see the stress on their face?
I thought you might during my recruitment. Not really. I'm trying to think back. Not as much. This time of year, you're not around the coaching staff that much. You know, you're not going through meetings. The people you're around right now is the strength staff. You know, you're going to class in the morning, you're working out in the morning or the afternoon, and then you're going home. You know, because the coaches are gone all the time anyways, recruiting, you never see them. So I don't remember even being around that much and to see them, so I couldn't even tell. I'm sure they're, you know, they're a little puckered, you know, just because you're all in on one kid, and then it's like, well, if he, you know, signing day decision, if he doesn't go, come with us, then where are we going? Because we need to make this position. That's the toughest thing is your chips are all in on one kid, and it's really up to you and another school, and you're waiting to that last minute. And then it's like, okay, if he doesn't choose us, where are we going? What's our backup plan? You know, you have to have like A, B, C, D, E, F, and G plans for like every, you know, it's just crazy. And so I would imagine, I mean, I know if I was a coach, it'd be fairly stressful.
It's only getting more hype, more stress, and this thing here is going to go down to the wire. It's going to go down to the wire,
bud. A lot of signing day
Calvin, Lewis,
drama.
Thompson. Maybe you'll get Kurt Raftall. Here's another question I have about him. You've seen film of him too, and you're a guy who played both sides of the ball in high school. And Rafdahl 6'7", very athletic. He's the tight end that was decommitted from Indiana when Coach Wilson was let go. So Rafdahl has visited Lincoln, did so on the 13th. He just visited Iowa. And then LSU's in the running. Mm-hmm. Per the World Herald, I don't think LSU's likely to get a visit from him. The way I read into that is, all right, you've already visited us. You need to get off the pot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Either pick us or Nebraska, mm-hmm. who you're considering. Don't waste our time. Don't waste LSU's time. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's that race between Nebraska and Iowa. If you're Nebraska, you can't lose out a second year in a row at tight end. Iowa's got a great pedigree of putting tight ends in the league. I mean, they have a ton of guys in the NFL. Got the kid out of Omaha South, mm-hmm. Noah, mm-hmm. that is people rave about from Iowa City. Mm-hmm. At least Iowa Russ does, and this is before he has a couple of beers.
Let me tell you a quick recruiting story off air about Fant.
Okay. Off air?
It's off air. It's off air.
Well, thanks for that. Hey, TJ. Leave the mics open. Kidding. A ghost has taken over TJ's board. Day two of a new system. More vodka for TJ. Hang with us. As Coach Barnett coming up, we'll talk Nebraska basketball. Bo Reed next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. How about your friends at Sauter Heyman? How about Rick helping take care of you for Valentine's Day or that anniversary? 1 carat diamonds available for $100 a month. 1 carat diamonds, only $100 a month with approved credit. See stores for details and don't shortchange your sweetheart as we get closer to Valentine's Day. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west with your friends in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com, yourbestring.com. We're going to catch up with Bo Reed, talk some Nebraska basketball, Jacob Padilla in a little more than an hour, Gary Barnett in 35 minutes as we're with you here talking some recruiting. Nebraska trying to close out strong, a couple of defensive tackles, Damian Daniels, of course, a need. Down in Dallas, Noah Ellis, kid out of Colorado, that's kind of on the radar now. We'll see how Nebraska goes there. In the quarters, Elijah Blades, DeMornay, not Pearson, Diamadore Lenore, and then, of course, Greg Johnson and Jeremiah Hawkins. So we'll effort Bo Reed. Let me text him. Let's talk a little Nebraska basketball. What's your gut say tonight here about the game? The Vegas friends say 10.5 in honor of Brent Musburger, Northwestern graduate. Listen, I just don't know what to think about this Nebraska basketball mindset. And it kind of comes down to just how much gas is left, and there's still a lot of season left, but just to lose that way twice, do you bounce back mad, or do you kind of just keep taking punches and eventually wait for the bell to ring?
Right. I don't know. It's so hard. I mean, this, let's be honest, it's probably going to be another close one.
I hope they stay that way.
Just, you know, last time we played Northwestern, we played pretty damn good. That first, how we closed off that first half, but Northwestern just couldn't miss. I mean, that's kind of been, you know, tale of the season so far. Nebraska just catches teams that just shoot very, very well from the outside, and then we can't counter that at all. Listen, it'll be a close. Again, who's going to give us some inside aggressiveness? You know, who's going to try to finish strong instead of passing up, you know, five-footers around the rim? Or, who's going to be able to, you know, finish hard around the rim, get fouled, go to the free throw line, make them, first of all? You know, who's going to be that guy? Again, Ty and Glenn, they got to be on. You got to get those two on. But again, like I said all year, who's that third guy? Mm-hmm. Who's gonna get you, 15-8? You know, who's gonna be that guy? Is it Jariah? Is it Roby? Is it Jacobson? I don't know. But someone has to step up and be that third guy for this squad. And you have to, keep keep scratching and clawing on the defensive end. Hopefully Northwestern has an off night shooting, but I tell you what, those guys can shoot. They really do have an off night. Even though I think they, I saw a stat that they shot like 20-some percent from the 3-point line after the game that after the very next game they played us, where they shot like 50-some percent. So we'll see. But again, who's that third guy? Who's gonna be able to finish? You know, who's gonna get you that 15-8 for Nebraska basketball tonight? And it's I don't know. I have no idea. That's a $1 million question.
Here's the thing: you've had double digit scores. You've had 3 to 4, so you've had help. But my question tonight is. I mean, it's obvious. It's Watson. It's been written about by Lee and Jacob and folks that cover basketball. But I wonder where his head is at right now when I look at Glenn Watson. And you start off the season like you did. You're just kind of up and down, where you'll have a great outing against Indiana. You'll have a great outing against UCLA. You'll be on fire against Iowa. And then you'll have bad outings where you went 1-for-11 against Virginia Tech. You were 2-of-6 against Kansas. Northwestern, you were 2-for-11. Against Creighton, you were 3-for-11. You've had your bad nights against good teams, but you've had amazing nights against two really big-time programs. And I wonder if he's buffaloed a little bit just because he's playing a bunch of dudes from his hometown and there's familiarity.
Mm-hmm. Buffaloed, that's a new term. Pissed?
No, as in
fired up,
just kind of like gun shy.
Oh, really? I've never heard that before. Buffalo.
You've never seen Kill Bill?
Yes, but I didn't. I guess I never. I've seen it one time, and it was like 10 years ago.
This is fine.
But I just buffalo.
It's a term. It's a term my grandpa used.
The whole time, like buffalo.
I think he's buffaloed a little bit.
Okay, I'm glad we got that clarified.
Okay, what I mean by
gun shy.
Thank you.
Hesitant.
Yes.
Okay.
Additional meanings.
Okay.
Buffaloed. Okay. Gun shy. Apprehensive. A lot of trepidation, unsureness. I think there's this expectation post-Iowa where, in his own mind, he's like, I better go out and get 30 a night because we've won. And it felt good, and it was pretty efficient, and that was great. He put a lot of pressure on himself to be fantastic. The scoring hasn't been there since that Iowa game consistently.
Right.
His efficiency hasn't been anyway. Then you couple it with getting knocked down against Ohio State. He felt awful about that. And he should, and he's a competitor. These guys know him. They're Chicago dudes. They've played ball growing up for years, a number of these kids on the Northwestern team. And they know his tendencies. They know his strengths. They know how to take it away. So how does he react tonight in the midst of a losing streak, in the midst of a slump, when it comes to what he's scoring and what he's shooting to get those points? And the other side of this is, what can he do to create? Because you're talking about a third and fourth score, and you're right. Give me a third, give me a fourth score. He can be part of that four, but does he have to be number two or number one? If he's the third leading scorer, but he's got 6-7 assists, minimal turnovers, and that gets Jacobson going, or that gets Roby going, I think that is your answer tonight. How does he adjust to what they know he can do well? And does he try too hard with it? Maybe I'm being too psychobabble-ish today, but I think it's a big factor with Watson. He's still young, and that's not an excuse, but you have some guys that just, you've seen glimpses of how great he can be. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bar and an expectation, and nobody wants to hit that bar or reach that expectation more than Glenn Watson Jr. And he is been in search of that Iowa magic ever since it's happened. And instead of letting it kind of come to you, I think he's been out there trying to do too much. And he was just, I don't even want to say passive, but it's just like he wasn't on the floor as a scoring threat, or they weren't going in when I think of the Rutgers game. Mm-hmm. And I saw his reaction to whatever was said or told to him, or maybe it was just internal. How he came out in the second half and how it sparked the guys against Rutgers in the second half. So let it kind of come to him and put a game plan together to either get him going, whether Vic Law at 6-7's on him or not, because you're not going to change the physics here, the physical mismatch where other teams can just throw big guards like Virginia Tech did, like Kansas did, like Creighton did, like the guys over at Northwestern did in Vic Law. Mm-hmm. That's going. They've scouted you. They're going to throw their tall dude and their long dude on you. How do you come back from it? And who else can you get open?
That's. I mean, it's the biggest thing is forcing it. You know, how much do you have in the tank if you're Ty and Glenn? Because I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on. I mean, I don't know if they feel it, but that's a lot to know. You have to go out there and you cannot, you know, you cannot have off nights from either one. I think you saw Glenn have an off night. He only had 7 points, I believe. And was it against the Iowa game, or he went off in the Iowa game?
He went off.
Yeah, I can't remember. There was a game that he had an off night. He did. Maybe it was a game after that. Maybe it was a Northwestern game. I believe he did have an off game. But
2 for 11.
Right. So it can be a lot. I mean, to know that you step on the floor and you just can't afford to have an off. That can be.
It's even cranked up more because Ed's watching.
Right. Well, and that can be. It can make you hesitant as well because you think, oh, man, I can't afford to take a bad shot because
– You start thinking.
Right. You start overthinking it. And you saw the Iowa game where it was just – there was no thinking. It was just reaction. And that's when guys play their best. You know, you're just reacting. You're just playing off your instincts and not overthinking it. You get in that zone and you make it happen. It's going to be interesting. You know, defensively, what can you do to slow Northwestern's – You know, they're so efficient offensively. That's the biggest thing. They don't make mistakes. They rarely turn the ball over. And they get good shots, and they're very efficient. So what can you do to try to change it up for them? And can we capitalize? You know, when they do make turnovers, can we get points off of them? Can we get to the free throw line and actually make them and not shoot 50%, you know, from the free throw line? You know, getting that 80%, you know, where you're shooting 18 of 21 for the free throw line instead of just...
Well, just force the issue, get to the line, because Northwestern is sure as hell happy to send you there. They didn't foul Nebraska excessively the first time they played. Northwestern will space you, and they are ultra, ultra conservative on offense in the same sentence. They're not going to do anything too messy to give you a chance to get a steal and get out in transition. That's one thing they did. Between the crowd, the tempo... Their spacing and ability to respond and hit a big shot once Nebraska inched closer, they had the perfect formula to get out of Dodge with a win. So that is something that, you know, Nebraska needs to return the favor with. And also force the tempo. Don't get out of control, but force it a bit. Try and get something going. Even if you're not getting any opportunities off of the defense, get a rebound, get an outlet, and get some tempo going. TJ, how are you feeling about tonight?
Thinking it should be another close one. It was crazy with that first Northwestern game, going on that 14-0 run to end the half, and you somehow still lose that game. But remember, Northwestern shot incredible from 3, 11 of 24, I believe. And then that second half, they didn't commit a single turnover. And that's how Nebraska was able to look so good offensively. And then what? They'd only finished with 23 points, I believe, that second half. So got to be able to force the turnovers. That's how this team is able to score more easily, and you need big nights from Glenn and Ty every night without Ed.
No, you do. I mean, that's a broken record. Do you think he bounces back? Think Glenn bounces back?
He's responded pretty well this year. I don't see why not. To me, that guy is the truth. He's going to be so impressive his next 2 years and even this year.
Am I right? You think he's thinking a bit too much? Forcing it? Pressing, I should say? Buffaloed?
I mean, a little bit. It's unfortunate for him that the runner he's been shooting isn't falling when he's going into the lane. But his 3-point shot, he's our best 3-point shooter. So I mean, he's got to be willing to shoot.
How many koala bear emojis do we see today from at Husker Basketball? Because when Jack hits one, they say Jack for three, and then they had the koala bear emoji.
Okay.
Down under.
No. That's pretty good. It's pretty funny.
Hopefully a few. I'll take like 5 koala bears. Hell, I'm just glad
you want him to hit 5. Okay.
Hell, 10. Why not?
Okay. we have reached Bo Reed in Norfolk, so we'll check in with Bo in about 3 minutes. You're listening to Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. We usually have out music, but TJ broke it, and we're presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
We will have a Bob Diaco traveling the world update coming up. Back with you on Hail Varsity Radio, Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore. Welcome in, standout Husker. Bo Reed with us to talk some Husker hoops. Bo, what's going on? How you doing?
Doing well. Just pulling into Norfolk. Watch my son swim against Norfolk.
Well, thanks for giving us a few minutes. And that gym is daunting. Many a Christmas and Thanksgiving were at Grandma Schmidt's, and we'd con our way into to playing hoops in there. So I didn't
He's
shoot.
He's not playing basketball. He's swimming, man.
No, I know. That's good. That's great for the cardio. I should have swam. DJ, is the are you just wanting to play Skinnerd here forever, or what?
We have a new. To.
Yeah, I know he is. He's got a lighter held up in the other studio. It's wonderful. What do you think about tonight? Talk to me about Northwestern. They look good here at PBA. How do you think Tim and the gang respond tonight?
Oh, well, it's hard to say. I mean, if anything's proven to be true, our kids will play hard. We'll have a lot of really good spurts, and then we'll have a 7 or 8 minute drought where we look like we've never played basketball before. So.
So you're telling me the consistency is a question mark for you tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I just think if we rebound and we keep them off the boards, and the one player that made like 5 threes doesn't shoot out of his mind, you know, I think we've got a chance. I mean, so, I don't know who that dude was. All of a sudden he's, you know, unconscious against us in Pinnacle Bank, and we go from leading the game and actually kind of playing really well to losing and finding a way to lose.
Vic Law, and he did a pretty good job D-ing up Glenn Watson. Bo, what do you think Glenn's going through right now? Obviously, Ed's hurt. They've been looking for a consistent additional score between Watson and Webster, but what's your read on Glenn? Is he pressing a bit? Is he trying to recreate the Iowa magic? Is it just people adjusting to him? If you're to pick one of those, what do you think it is?
You know, I think when you're a young player and you have one of those breakout games where you score 35, it's pretty easy to think that you're going to start doing that regularly. And I think if you look back at the Iowa game, Glenn scored within the context of the offense. I don't remember him forcing a lot of shots. He let the game come to him. And, you know, since then, you know, I think he came out in the second half of the last game and played well, because I think Tim at halftime basically said, "Hey, where'd you go? We need you. You've got to press the action for us. You create all of the opportunity for others." Between he and Ty, you know, Glenn's threat is different than Ty's. Ty's not a huge threat to shoot the ball from the perimeter, but he is a threat to get to the rim. And Glenn's threat to shoot the ball allows him to pump fake, allows him to kind of act like he's pulling up, and then he gets by his defender, and it creates opportunities for other people. And it's no surprise to see McVay play a little better, because both Ty and Glenn have elevated their game in the Big Ten, and they're creating a lot of open looks for Jack, because you have to pick your poison. So I think Glenn's struggling a little bit just to stay confident, stay in the moment, and not force the game. Let the game kind of come to him, and understand you still have to be aggressive with the basketball without forcing perimeter jump shots. I think that's the difference, you know. You make a handful of them against Iowa, and all of a sudden you're a perimeter shooter. He's a dribble shooter. He's a mid-range jump shooter. Mm-hmm. He needs to beat his guy off the dribble and create opportunity, and if they don't come, that's his shot. And then ultimately, people get scared of him blowing by them, and then those three-pointers are wide open. So it's a little difference. It's kind of the difference between Taran Pettaway, you know, between his sophomore and junior year. His sophomore year, he got his threes within the context of the offense. His junior year, he was looking to shoot him. And I just think that's kind of what's going on with Glenn. He needs to just figure out his roles to be a dribble penetrator, a creator, finish if people don't come help. And then ultimately, people will be scared to run out at him, and that's when he'll get those three-point opportunities.
What do you think about Roby tonight? He showed some good role work early. He is very athletic. I know he's had the injury heading into this season, but early on, man, they could throw him at that high post and kind of run the offense a bit. High post, relative speaking, of course, but he was able to turn and dribble or pass out to find somebody open on the perimeter. Do you think a step forward can happen tonight for Isaiah?
Well, I think his one of his breakout games was earlier in the conference season, maybe at Indiana, where he got to play a lot at the high post. And I think one of the underrated skills that he possesses is his ability to pass the basketball. And so the last several weeks, it seems like Isaiah's lost a little bit of confidence. I've seen him pass up a number of open shots that were well within his shooting range. I hope to see him play a little more confidently with the ball, because I think he can do a lot of really good things with him. And I mean, defensively, the kid alters or blocks more shots than probably any other player, with the exception of Ed.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I was wondering about here. Can he get that confidence back? Lastly, let's talk Jacobson. What's his responsibility tonight?
Well, I think Michael's really kind of settled into his role. He doesn't seem to force too much. He's rebounding really well. He's become a very smart post defender as well. I just want to see him stay out of foul trouble. And he picks up a couple of early ticky-tack fouls. It's going to be a long night for us. He needs to stay in the game.
You know, that's been an issue. Northwestern has sent everybody to the line 20 times or more. Nebraska, that exception, about 90 seconds or so. Miles, Coach Miles, do you think he was able to get through to his kids leading up to this roadie that look, you can bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, the kids have proven to be really resilient. You know, that technically they should be 6-1 in the Big Ten. I mean, really, if we close two games that we should have closed, mm-hmm. and we win the other game that was close that we had an opportunity to win, I mean, I don't know that they're that down in the dumps. I mean, for the number of young kids that we're playing, Ty's playing at a really high level. I'd like to see him take care of the ball a little bit. I mean, the dribble off the foot's a little shocking, honestly, at the level he's been playing at. But, you know, I think they're pretty resilient, and I look for them to play well tonight. I honestly do.
Bo Reed with us, Hale Varsity Radio, standout Husker basketball player, of course, part of that team that went to the NCAA tournament as a 3 seed. Bo, enjoy the swim meet. We'll catch up again soon. Thanks for a couple minutes.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Take care.
All right.
Awesome stuff.
Bye.
Bo Reed with us on Hale Varsity Radio as he just got to Norfolk, mm-hmm. just got some reception, mm-hmm. and it's swim meet time. So that works. Good analysis. As TJ is going to try and play some more Skynyrd. Skynyrd Thursday on Hale Varsity. No.
Ew.
You're going with Radiohead now.
This is Radiohead.
It is.
They learned something new. I mean, this is like Jay's learning, you know, a bunch of new things today. You know,
Buffaloed and Radiohead.
This is Radiohead.
Yeah. Pharmacist Jeff wants me to go see Radiohead in the spring down in Kansas City.
Nice. At the same place you saw Dave?
Maybe. I think. I don't know. We'll talk Radiohead here in a minute, but we'll wind out Hour 1 on Hale Varsity Radio.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HaleVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
His name was Benny. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. TJ doesn't like where the window shade is drawn because he's squinting. So TJ barges in and says, I quote, that random ass song is actually music.
Like, I get that as like a just like, you know, a little 30-second bed, but then to actually hear that, like, that's a beat to a song, like, does the song have lyrics? Like, I don't, Radiohead, are they alternate? What are they? Are they techno? That's mind blowing to me. That's a beat to a song.
Vogues is really smart with Radiohead. Like, he knows their complexities more than me. This is a...
I don't know much about Radiohead.
That's fine.
I know of them.
I know that we played it like twice at KRNU, and this is 100 years ago when I was a student DJ. So let's burn the disc so I don't have to buy it. Back when And what are CDs? Is the next question.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
You have bird music all the time.
You have the greatest collection of NWA hip hop. I forgot. In home. So yeah. That's what Radiohead is. Now, pharmacist Jeff wants me to go see Radiohead, and I don't know. I don't know that I can go do it. I've been to a lot of concerts recently.
Yeah,
the wife went with Uncle Nate to Eric Church. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to go. Went to Chili Peppers last week. It was awesome. I've just done a lot of concerts.
I've been to concerts. I went to 21 Pilots this summer.
Yeah. With Alan Jackson. That was a good time.
I don't think that was my only one, I think, in 16. I know I saw Boston.
That's your fault.
No, it was awesome. You such a... I will slap you.
Yeah, I know you will. You'll wait till the mics are off, just like your Noah story.
Yeah, I was right. Radiohead, alternative rock, electronica. Yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Electronica.
I just liked how it sounded. I'm not trying to be Radiohead guy. It takes a level of IQ to understand them. And I mean that sincerely.
I believe it.
Yeah. So the point is do I go to the show?
No.
No, I don't think so. It would be cool to get away from the wife, though, for a weekend. All right, let's get you qualified now. 6-month premium online subscription, yours to HaleVarsity.com. So much recruiting news. You need to be a part of the premium content reserved for you. Inside info, in-depth recruiting analysis. You'll want that as we get closer to signing day. And, of course, up-to-the-minute breaking news. Caller 6 right now. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865, a 6-month premium online subscription, yours from HaleVarsity.com. Caller 6 now, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. So there you have it. Is the music fixed? No? Yes? You're waiting?
It is, but it's not
playing.
Not time yet.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
Those clocks must be off over there.
Okay.
Or else mine are.
Yours are. Completely. Yeah. I'm going to take a baseball bat to that thing and let's just fix it ourselves.
Isn't it new?
Yeah, exactly. TJ hates the computer. The computer hates TJ. All right, caller 6 now, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Hour 2 coming up. Gary Barnett on the way next to talk some recruiting.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Heading, producing, engineering, trying to tame that new software system. It's winning today. Recruiting season here. We spent a lot of time talking about the prospects Nebraska in on. Let's talk recruiting. Let's talk some football. Welcome in tremendous coach at Northwestern and Colorado Sports USA Radio Network, the Buff Radio Network. Gary Barnett back with us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you all right. You doing all right on your end with us?
Yes, got you. Good.
So. Good, good, good. Well, first and foremost, what's this time of year do for you, memory-wise?
Well, it's maybe the second most stressful time, first being the period between your last game and your bowl game, and now this time because things are getting down to where everybody's making their decisions, and it seems like your whole class depends on who decides to come in the last 5 days, and in reality, you lose more than you get, but it seems like
it seems like when you and that's the way it should be, but when it happens that way, you're so disappointed. You're going, I can't believe it, we didn't get him. I can't believe we didn't get him. But in the end, you still end up with your 22 or 23 players, and it's okay. But, you know, anybody that you're chasing and anybody you've offered, you don't want them to go somewhere else. And very seldom do you just go, well, okay, that's all right if you went there. So it is stressful, and it's like I said, there's more disappointments, generally speaking, than there are hoorays. So it's just that period of time, and it comes down to the last day, and then you sit there and wait for these doggone faxes to come through, which I think they've at least taken that into the 21st century and not quite like that anymore. But it's still a stressful time, and then no matter what, no matter who you sign, you're excited about them.
Yeah.
And you better act excited about them. So, you know, and then you hold this, the only time that you want to talk about how many stars and how many championship games a guy played in and how many all-star games is the day of signing date. Then you talk about, this four-star, this three-star. Any other time, you're going, it doesn't mean anything. But that day, you're talking about them.
You got to change the conversation a bit, don't you? Pump it up when you can pump it up. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. You walk out of losing one and you have to go to a big luncheon and talk about all the guys you got. So, and that's what it should be. You should be concerned with the guys you got, not the guys that get away.
Yeah. Coach, the ones you take
that can't play, those are the ones that beat you, not the guys that go somewhere else.
No, absolutely. That's, and with your evaluation process, and I want to kind of go there because that's what Nebraska's been doing. A lot of these kids that they have now or they got last year or they're working on for 18 already, because you know how sped up things are. They spent a year or more in on, and that's some of the offensive line. They have a great chance to land so much talent from California on paper that needs to translate on the field. What was your approach, or how did you handle the recruiting game when you were an assistant, and then also flip it around when you were a head coach? I know you had different responsibilities, but was it, I don't want to say easier, but what was more manageable stress-wise? Is the head guy having a bunch of guys you've picked underneath you go get kids while you're closing it, or kind of being the hunter for a guy like Coach Mack?
Well, it's a lot harder being the head coach, because you did things your way, and you think that part of the reason you're the head coach is because you did things better than everybody else. And so you have a tendency to say, well, when I was doing that, here's what I would do. Mm-hmm. And, and you've got nine guys that are out there recruiting for you. And, you just got to stay away from that. You got to let them do their thing and tutor them, you know, when they're around by themselves, and instead of making a deal about it in a meeting room. Being just the recruiter was, you had your guys you were honed in on, and you had your guys, you know, a lot of guys recruit by positions now. And so you were trying to get the best player at your position you could. So you've done an evaluation, and the staff does an evaluation, and then the individual coach does an evaluation, and you have a ranking, and you're just trying to get the highest ranked player you can on that list, and that's all you're thinking about. But as a head coach, you're trying to get the highest ranked players at all the positions. Mm-hmm. and you're taking more into consideration. You understand a bigger picture so much more than everybody else does. For you, academics, you know, what are his grades, what are his test scores, how do those fit, because you want the kid to be around. When you're an assistant coach, you're just trying to get the very best player, and you're just hoping he can get his grades. But head coaches see it much bigger and broader than an assistant coach does.
Coach, how important is this California connection for Coach Riley in Nebraska? They've got two kids that are already early enrollees, and they've got so many high-profile guys that they're in a fight with against the SCs, against the Oregons, against the Cals, against some of the who's who out there, that it could end up real well for Nebraska on signing day. If they land a slew of California kids and a year or two from now they produce and Nebraska's playing in the Big Ten championship, could that kind of bolster that pipeline, so to speak, for Nebraska? Or is it going to be a case-by-case basis just because of where Nebraska's at and where you know California is located?
Well, I think it's going to be a case-by-case deal, because anytime your recruiting depends on going into someone else's recruiting area, and I mean a league, yeah, or in this case the Pac-12, the coast, you have to do a great job evaluation. You're not going to steal too many from SC and UCLA and Washington and Oregon. And people need to understand that. I mean, you're in Nebraska, and so you're not on the coast. Their parents are not going to fly to see them play every game. So that's something you're fighting all the time. So it's going to be like pulling teeth anytime you go into someone else's recruiting area. In a place like Nebraska, much like Colorado, what is their recruiting area? Well, for Colorado, it's California. Well, guess what? That is now the Pac-12, and that's good for them. But back before, it wasn't. And Texas, guess what? That's Big 12 and SEC to some extent. Mm-hmm. So when you're making a living going into someone else's recruiting area, you're pulling teeth every single year. It's going to help if you get guys and they play, but it's going to help you with a kid at that high school. This may not help you with a kid at some other high school. So it's every year that's the way it's going to be, and that's the life of schools that live in the middle of the country that don't have access to large numbers of people, and that's the way it's always going to be.
Mm-hmm. Coach, I want to switch a little bit and get into more X's and O's here. Bob Diaco got hired at Nebraska with D coordinators, flipping it from a 4-3 to a 3-4. I have a pretty good understanding of a 3-4 playing in one at San Francisco with Mike Nolan, Greg Minuski, and kind of his Wade Phillips type of scheme. And you be an offensive guy, when you're game planning for against a 3-4 type of defense, what things always would concern you trying to game plan a 3-4 D head into game day?
Well, first of all, it's easier to disguise your coverage than a 3-4. And 3-4s that we used to prepare against were more slant and angle defenses. You had to figure out which outside linebacker was coming and which one wasn't. But the 3-4 became very, very popular once the spread offense came in, because that outside linebacker is in space, and he's a lot harder to read and control than he is when he's over a tight end. Mm-hmm. So that became the popular way to take on these spread offenses, was to play a 3-4. Now, to do that, as you know, the 3-4 nowadays is more of a read and react defense. So you got three guys up front that need to be two gap players. They need to control two gaps. So they're more of a read and react team rather than a team that's going to fill gaps right away. 3-4 teams don't make a lot of tackles for losses. Mm-hmm. They're much better, harder to throw against. You don't have the extremes that you do in a 4-3. And in a 3-4, it's a little harder to read. It's a little harder to figure out what coverages are. And of course, the spreads don't concern themselves with coverages so much anymore as we used to. But that's the hard part, is going against a really good two-gap player and then trying to figure out which one of those outside linebackers is in coverage and which one is going to be the rusher.
Yeah, because that's my favorite thing I said when we hired Diaco. I said, that's the greatest thing about 3-4 is you never know. You could have five guys up there. You could essentially have two guys up the line of scrimmage, or for your outside guys, or one guy could still be covering in the slot and he could still rush and the other guy could drop. Because that's why just the little things, the cat and mouse games, you can kind of play and hide things,
right,
and dictate,
right,
protections almost. You can get certain protection. You get the outside linebacker coming against a one-on-one with a tight end or a back. Offensively, though, you brought that up. Was that the main thing that you had to ID as an offense, who try to identify that guy, that outside linebacker rushing? And what would you try to do offensively to ID him with formation recognition and those kind of things?
Well, it has a lot to do with, and again, Jay, I'm going back to where things were, I don't know, that you always were trying trying to predict who the rushbacker was and who the dropbacker was, because that told you what everybody else was going to do. Mm-hmm. And it told you basically many times whether you're a three deep or a two deep coverage, because it's tight, and it is tight in the safety. But the hardest defense to diagnose and figure out from an offensive standpoint is a great 3-4 defense who has equal ability on both outside linebackers. If you've got one guy that's bigger and more of a put his hand on the ground guy, and the other guy's more of a drop, it isn't so hard. But if you've got two guys, both can rush, both can drop and play equally, then your coverages and how you coach your quarterback changes completely. It just becomes more complicated.
Coach, wanted to ask you real quick, what do you know about Coach Diaco, and do you think having him coach linebackers will affect, you know, the future of Coach Bray being here?
Oh, you know, it's hard to say about the future of Coach Bray. I don't know about that, but I know two of my coaches that coached with Bobby, one at Virginia, well, actually two at Virginia, one at Notre Dame, and they both really rave about him. And I think coming from having a stint as a head coach and coming back into the game as a defensive coordinator, I mean, one good thing about it, he was only head coach for 3 years, so he's pretty close to his defensive stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't say that to him, but, you know, that's not a good thing. But you know, from someone's standpoint, it is. So, you know, in the 3-4s, it's a tough defense. And Bobby's done a good job at both places, and I know he's been really, really, was really well respected in all facets of the game.
Okay, about 60 seconds. Your reaction to Coach K banning his players from wearing Duke gear around campus. He's not happy with how they're playing, even though he's on a leave of absence because of his back.
Well, you know, you got to be careful with that stuff. Coach K can get away with it. I know at one time we were playing poorly, and I threatened to take the Buffaloes off the helmet, the Buffaloes off the helmet. And you would have thought that ISIS was running our program. I mean, good grief! I mean, it was all over the news and all over the radio. And all I said was, you know, if we keep playing like this, we don't deserve to have the Buffaloes on our helmet. But you would have thought, oh my gosh. So, but Coach K can probably get away with it. And, you know, I understand that. You've got drastic times. You got to have drastic measures sometimes, and that is one. And so he's got to get their attention. You know, that's what he chose to do. And, you know, I don't think it's all that bad of an idea. They need more accountability, and you get to a point sometimes in your program, you don't think a program like Duke ever gets to that, mm-hmm. but they do. And so you gotta take charge and do what you think you gotta do.
Well, and you guys won at A&M the following week too. So you
we did.
Yeah. It worked. Coach,
it worked.
It yeah. worked. Coach, have a great weekend. We'll catch up soon, and thanks for a few minutes. A lot of fun today.
All right, guys. Good
take
talking
care.
With you.
Yeah, awesome
thanks,
stuff. Gary Barnett with us on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine.
Yeah, we didn't even get into Tiger today. I thought we'd, you know, but no, I know.
We'll get him. We'll get him on. I'll get him on Masters Week. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I'll be there.
Yeah, I know. Kidding. No, I wanted to ask him the Coach K thing because I think he did take the Buffalo helmet away.
Did he? They didn't play a game without the Buffalo, or they may have.
I thought he did. I mean, this is
so. We know what's funny is he brings that up, and then the year we beat them, my junior going at Colorado, when they won the North, our scout team got the Buffalo stickers on their helmets.
So they were Buffalo.
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
Buffalo. The word of the day.
We'll spend a few minutes on punishment by head coaches, even those with back injuries. Hail Varsity continues.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Good stuff from Coach Barnett. You missed part of it. Log on HailVarsity.com. or iTunes or the ESPN 1480 app. So we asked Gary Barnett about it because he threatened. I thought he did do it, but he did threaten at one point to take away the buff on the helmet because Colorado was not playing well.
Is that an 04 or 05 he did that?
It might have. It was either
05 was his last year.
Yeah, it might have been 02, I think. Got to clarify. But long and short of it is he said you got to be careful about it. We're in reference here to Coach Krzyzewski. So ESPN reporting, Jeff Goodman, Dane O'Neill. Coach K met with the team at his house last night to inform them they've been banned from the locker room. They can no longer wear Duke apparel. That's following a loss to NC State at home, 84-82. And you're supposed to live up to a standard. Now, Duke's still 15-5, but they're 3-4 in the ACC. The last time they finished below 500, 94-95, also the last time he was out with back surgery for an entire year. So the punishment is undetermined how long this will last. So is Coach K from his, I don't want to say deathbed, but medical bed, because...
Well, isn't that a weird scene? Like, usually the coach is ripping him in the locker room.
Can't you see him?
You got to go to his house in his bedroom and have him rip you from the bed.
Coach K's got blue pajamas on. Yeah. He's got his little slippers on. He's probably got a book or a crossword. He's got his glasses. He's got his ice pack, and he's got his pain pills. That's the scene I'm seeing.
Yeah,
he's
too.
Propped up in bed.
Yeah.
There's 15 guys gathered around his bed, and he's screaming bloody murder like only he can do. And his hair is still perfect.
Yeah, he's always in his nasally voice.
While he does it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Coach Miles started this thing with the infamous locker room ban.
Yeah, that didn't work.
I forgot about that.
You've dealt with the Grayson Allen crap this year. You've been injured this year.
I mean, Ted Cruz. Did you see that? That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
The Ted Cruz tweet at Deadspin.
Right. So,
side note.
My question here is, what's... I mean,
he's talking about Schmidt's coughing up a little longer right now. But being a Duke guy, though, like this team is completely. I pay attention to them. They're completely underachieved this year. Like,
oh yeah,
they should be top. I know ACC is pretty damn good at basketball this year, but who they have? You got the top two recruits. I know one's been injured, but I mean, listen, Grayson Allen's a hell of a player. They got guys back from last year. This team, I think they have 7 losses already this year, which is never. They got 5. I mean, that shows you how big a Duke fan I am, I guess. But,
but I mean, they were preseason picked to win
right,
the thing.
I know,
by a lot
but
of
they
people.
Are. They are not. They're not hitting on all cylinders, and there's a reason. I mean, this should not be
it's
happening.
It's chemistry. You've got the Grayson Allen crap. Coach K's back's bothering him. I mean, he's not there. My question, though, is what's – will this work? And I don't care if it works for Duke or not. I hope they lose the rest of them because I don't like Duke. But from a threat standpoint, what's the worst thing you've ever been threatened with, either here or in the league? I mean, did anyone ever try and pull something like this in the NFL?
No. Oh, hell no. No, that's –
you'd have a player role,
you
right?
You can't do that. You – there's NFL, no, PA, yeah, there's no, that would happen. In college, there was never any threat. I think it was always
heard,
just like.
You've heard of the black shirts being taken
away.
Yeah,
there's always this extra running. I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind, Callahan's first year, we needed to make a bowl game. You know, Thanksgiving time, you know, season's over with, but you still have 2-3 weeks left of school before you go on Christmas break. Dude, he put us through the meat grinder of workouts. Dude, it was brutal. We had to run and lift. He's like, this is what you get, you know. We should be practicing anyways, but if we're not going to practice and get better for a bowl game, then you're going to run and lift and get in better shape so this doesn't happen again. And in a way, it's a punishment. It sucked. I remember, like, puking because of doing, like, 5 sets of 10 on squat, but, like, it was brutal. But I never got any sort of threat to have – a locker room or the end taking away your helmet or, I mean, we always have guys get black shirts taken away if they're, you know, their performance was down during games and in practice. That's happened without a doubt, but
Was that pretty
nothing
common?
To that extent.
What type of resort was that?
For
if Bo rips your black shirt away, or did Cause do it? I don't know.
I mean, Cause did it. I remember. I mean, God, I think it was my junior year or sophomore year. I can't remember, but I remember Kevin Smith getting his taken away for like a week. He came out to practice, and everyone's like, "What the?" And
really?
But yeah, like because he hadn't been practicing well. I think he's just in a kind of a rut. Just wasn't. Mm-hmm. This is had a bad attitude about some stuff. I think it might have been his senior year, believe it or not. And everyone's just kind of like, but it's like a message to everyone. You see a guy like Kevin, how good a player he was, and you're just like, we got to pick it up because you do not want to be that guy. There's nothing worse. I tell you, I mean, he played the rest of the season. I mean, when we played Michigan in the bowl game, that was like his best game of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He turned it up. I know Andre Jones got his taken away my senior year. Would have been Andre's junior year being the JUCO transfer. But it's eye opening, man. You get it taken away.
Is that before or after the SC game?
So SC as in us out there in SC?
Yeah.
It was later in the year.
He had a little bulletin board action.
Yeah. It was later in the year. It was more towards Colorado week, Big 12 championship week, bowl week. But you don't want that. But it's also, it sends a great message to the rest of your team. When you single out one guy, you're like, ooh, you better pick it up because you do not want that to happen to you.
And that's what I'm wondering here, this psychological warfare, this scare job, this shame he's trying to heap on his team, Coach K, by they can't wear Duke gear around, they can't go into the locker room, and you got to come see sick old Coach at my house Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Will it hit home? And he's doing it clearly before this gets off the rails. 3-4 isn't great. Losing at home to NC State isn't great, but you're still 15-5.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they're inching towards March, still ninth in the ACC. Do you think kids will respond to it in today's day and age? I mean, if you go to Duke, there's a certain standard, I guess, you get.
Siri wanted to
when the jump in.
Right, I guess
Siri had a thought. I think it still means something to him, but I think you better be right when you pull this out.
Yeah.
Or it could make things from bad to worse.
Yeah, they'll respond. I think
you have a real issue with Allen, how he's been treated, this whole indefinite suspension. I think if you pull the rest of his teammates, they probably want to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, that's been an unnecessary sideshow. I mean, it is.
But it's gone on.
Right, I know.
Now he's, this is another instance of him acting out on court. What the hell's gone on in practice?
Right. I mean, I think every team has, no matter how good they are, some time throughout the year they have their come to Jesus type of moment where it's like you get complacent, you get it just happens. It's just natural. The grind kind of becomes a little too much, and you're just not putting forth that effort, and you need an eye-opening experience. Now, I don't know if, banning a locker room and taking away their Duke gear is eye-opening. Usually eye-opening for me is, running wind sprints till you throw up and doing all these crazy things.
You're more the physical punishment guy.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, it's any time a coach just rips into you and, tears you a new one. That's more than enough for me. But some guys respond differently, whether it's if the guy just stops practice and just starts cussing and just dog cussing everyone and runs. That worked for me. But you want to make sure that never happens again.
This
that's the
might
biggest
be
thing.
Brilliant because you're gathering all of them around your sick bed, and you're screaming holy terror to them, and then you're taking something that they have taken for granted away.
And it hasn't worked out well for Jeff Capel, the interim head coach. A lot of people thought maybe,
this is another Krzyzewski audition for you.
Yeah, Krzyzewski's 69 going on 70. Eventually, somebody's got to fill that shoes, and they've lost 3 out of 4, so it's not been great for him.
You want to talk about following that legend?
Oh, man.
I mean, and Coach K is going to live till he's 150. He just will. Him and John Wooden. They'll be 105.
Yeah.
I mean, Wooden lived forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, Coach K will have his little spot in Durham next to the students, and he'll be silently judging you, trash his program, because you'll never equal or succeed what he has done. You won't.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same about Roy Williams a little bit, too.
And it's got to be a guy that he picks. It's got to be one of his kids, and that kid might be in Evanston tonight based on the turnaround that's going.
Good point.
Based on how things are going at Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to think, like, the next – to me, the basketball coach that doesn't get enough talk is Bill Self. Calipari and Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, but, man, what, 12 or 13 straight Big 12?
Regular seasons.
Ugh. Unreal.
Can I just say something about Self and Kansas, as awesome as they are? You need more than one.
Championship.
You need more than one championship. Right. Final Fours are awesome. But you have successfully shifted to the one and done. You've put a slew of dudes in the top five. I mean, look at Embiid now that he's healthy, just case in point. You have been on target, on point with recruiting class after recruiting class after recruiting class, where you just reload. You're a blue blood that has survived this one and done. I mean, Duke had to adjust to it. Some of the other great programs that were once great, and I'm thinking of the Georgetowns. Mm-hmm. Georgetowns is a blue blood that's fallen off. Mm-hmm. Florida's not what they were. I mean, obviously Donovan's gone, but even for a while there, they were pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Kentucky continues to reload, but Kansas is in that discussion. Kansas has as good of players every year as Kentucky. Kansas has as good of players as UCLA, as name it. Kansas should be in the Final Four every year, period. The Big 12 is a really good conference, too.
Really, really good.
I mean, they're incredible.
Really, really good.
But they just don't do it. They step on themselves every year. And the year they did win it, which is we're going on almost 9 years, was an act of God miracle from Chalmers. Period.
That KC opening round could be pretty good this year.
Sure.
Down there with Kansas. And early calls are calling for Creighton to be down there as well.
Yeah, we'll see. Jacob Padilla is coming up. We'll get his thoughts on Nebraska Northwestern. Hail Varsity continues on a Thursday, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Nebraska Northwestern. Can Nebraska return the favor? Welcome in from HailVarsity.com and magazine, Jacob Padilla with us at Jacob_Padilla on Twitter. Jacob, big one tonight in Chi-Town. How you doing?
Doing pretty well here.
It is, it's been interesting, hasn't it, this season for Nebraska? I love the word you used after the loss to Rutgers. And in some of your follow-up analysis on HailVarsity.com, bipolar, you nailed it.
Yeah, this team's kind of been all over the place, and I don't necessarily know if there's common themes throughout. It's been different things every game. I mean, you look at the last three losses they had. They went to Michigan, and you had Ty and Glenn play really well. Offensively, they put up some good points, but just couldn't get any stops. Then you came back and the Rutgers and Ohio State losses. I mean, they're heartbreakers the way they lost, but you didn't crack 70 in either game. So they went from not getting any stops but scoring to not being able to score anymore. And that's kind of how it started out in conference, too. Non-conference, they couldn't score at all. Then in that three-game winning streak, they were scoring pretty well. So this team, I don't know, with or without Ed Morrow, they just can't decide what kind of team they are.
I want to go back to the start of conference play that got folks on the hope train. That's the win against Indiana. That's the win against Maryland. Is it possible, and this isn't taking anything away from Nebraska, that Nebraska caught both those teams at good times and also caught two of those teams that really aren't as focused defensively? Is that a fair question?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this is timing, and you never know what's going on. I mean, you're a college kid. Teams and Maryland to that point, hadn't really been tested very much either. They had a pretty easy non-conference schedule. So that Nebraska went in there, kind of caught him off guard, and then Noah Trimble just went cold in a clutch, which is about as unexpected as it gets. So that one was kind of catching him off guard. And then Indiana, they lost that non-conference game too, and so they're always susceptible with how hot and cold they are and the way their point guard play has been this season. So that wasn't a huge surprise necessarily either, but now we're kind of seeing it go back the other way anytime you're in a close game situation, a lot of it does truly come down to just chance. And Nebraska had the things go their way in those games, and then in these last two games, Nebraska had the breaks go against them.
Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at @JacobPadilla_. Talking Husker hoops as they get ready for Northwestern in a little bit. Jacob, what's your takeaway on this Northwestern team from a stock purchasing standpoint? If you're buying stock in Northwestern, one being a little bet, 10 being a big bet, where's your money? Where's your money number on this Northwestern team? How for real are they?
I think they're in that maybe 7 range. I think they are a good team. I don't necessarily think they're as good as maybe Wisconsin or Purdue, but I definitely think they belong in the top half of the Big Ten. And I do think they're going to be able to hold on and make the NCAA tournament for the first time in school history. They've got some good players, especially on the wing with Vic Law and Scotty Lindsey. They've got some size inside, too, with Pardon. They've got a point guard. So they've got some good pieces. And I think Collins has done a great job coaching this team.
Let's talk about Vic Law. He went off when he was in Lincoln. He's 6'7". He really messed with Glenn in his game offensively. What can Nebraska do, and this is the million-dollar question, to get Glenn going tonight against some of his Chicago buddies, and B, what do they do defensively against Vic? Obviously guard him. He had some open threes, but that perimeter D wasn't great, come my memory, the last time they played Northwestern. What's Nebraska do differently tonight?
Yeah, I'll start on defense, and you're right, Vic Law was 5 of 6 from 3, and Northwestern was 11 of 24 overall, so he did basically half the damage himself. And a lot of that was just straight-up broken rotations. You had guys helping off Lindsey when he's already hot, and nobody else rotating over. And I think part of that was just some of the young guys getting more rotation minutes. You had some of the freshmen with Horn and Roby and some of those guys, and then some of the veterans not necessarily being as locked in as they need to as well. I don't think it was just the freshmen making the mistakes. So that's definitely a key, is not letting Law get wide open looks all game long, because he'll knock those down. He's about 43% on the season. And if you got a guy knocking down 5 threes, it's going to be hard for Nebraska to keep pace. Offensively, you're absolutely right. You hit it right on the head. Getting Glenn Watson going is a big key, because you look in these last two losses, and he's got 22 points on 24 shots and just 5 assists and 3 turnovers in that stretch. So he's not hitting his shots, and he's not really getting other guys involved either. That's one area of his game that I'd like to see 10 Miles kind of encourage him more with and kind of make a priority for him, is to set other guys up, because Nebraska doesn't have a lot of individual creators on the team other than Glenn and Webster. So if those two guys are in constant score mode, then if one of those two is off, which we've seen lately, then they're going to have a tough time scoring. So I'd like to see Watson focus a little bit more on getting in the paint and kicking out or dumping off to the big man or things like that, and then let his offense come to him as opposed to hunting for shots. Because you're right, especially with the bigger guy on him, if they do put some of that length on him, he could struggle, because he's a smaller point guard, and he did not play well in that last Northwestern game, and that was a big part of why Nebraska only got 66 points.
You're right on. If he starts distributing more, that third and maybe a fourth score show up, he'll be part of that four-headed monster scoring attack. But if it doesn't have to be all on him to do the heavy lifting. He can get points from a distribution standpoint. That would help Nebraska out a ton. Jacob, with Nebraska, Tim Miles, the mood, the resilience has been there this year based on non-conference to conference. The mood, what's the mood been like this week as you've been around the team and checked in with practices? How do you think they come back mentally tonight?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, they were down. Miles said it. Michael Jacobson said it. I mean, after both these last two losses, they're just such heartbreakers. You feel like you've got the game won, and then at the buzzer, basically 1 second left, you lose two games in a row. And that's going to hurt a team mentally, no matter what the situation is. But Jacobson said kind of the team's focus and their plan here to get over this is just to get back to work, to focus on getting better, try to put it in the rearview mirror and move forward. Because this team's still kind of figuring things out, obviously, with Morrow out of the lineup. You had Anton Gailey lost earlier in the season. So this team is kind of continuing to change, and guys are getting different roles, and rotations are changing. So I think to keep their minds off those heartbreaking losses, they're just kind of focusing on themselves and getting better and trying to look ahead as best as they can.
About 10 seconds. What do you get from Roby tonight?
He's been struggling offensively since he's been getting more minutes, rebound a little bit better. But I think tonight they're going to get 8 to 10 points from him. I think they're going to get him going tonight.
Jacob, awesome stuff. We'll be reading about it on HailVarsity.com. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yep, thanks.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
All right, getting ready. Nebraska Northwestern tonight. See what the Huskers do. 10.5, the number. It's rather large. We'll see if Nebraska can get rolling.
I'd take the Spurs in that one.
You know, they haven't been out of any ball game. It's just a matter whether Glenn can get going, and we've covered it ad nauseum with what needs to happen for Nebraska. But great stuff today from Jacob Padilla and Bo Reed, former Husker. And we welcome in the place you need to go to kind of get through some of those Husker losses. Home Innovation Spas, Deb the Spa Lady with us, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, also a location in Omaha. Deb, you've got the spa for well, any sports fan, really, to go get that relaxation, to take the stress away once their team loses. That's something they can look forward to, correct?
That's right. We've got it. We've got spas for the fans and for the athletes, both. So we've got it all. We'll make you feel better, whether it's mentally or physically. And we've got every size and shape. We got we received our first truckload of 2017 models today. We just unloaded those and brought a couple into the store. So we've got the new models. We've got a few 2016s left. So come see us, and we will pick out the perfect one for you.
Deb, real quick, tell me about the 17 models. How excited are you about them? And then also, you got some specials, I would imagine, on some of those 16s.
That's right. Yeah, that's the deal right now, are those models from last year. And, you know, a lot of those, there were no changes to that same model for 17. So you're not missing out on anything. And so save some money. Come in, get a 2016. We can get you delivered and set up, and you'll be enjoying that spa during all the March Madness. So let's get your spa delivered.
And if you're a Jayhawk fan, Deb's got Jayhawk blue for you. So
I do.
Yes, you do. Deb the Spa Lady, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. And, of course, in Omaha location, spasonline.com. Go see Deb today at Home Innovation Spas and find out about more of those 2016 deals, all shapes and sizes, that mental and physical healing that you got to have. Deb, we'll catch up next week. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Okay, Chris. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See ya. There she goes, Deb the Spa Lady. Yeah. And as I rant about Kansas never winning it enough, she's right there. Now, I will tell you this. Having a beer with Deb the Spa Lady the year Kansas and Chalmers hit that shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, to see the smile on Deb the Spa Lady's face when Kansas won, it was pretty cool.
Sure.
I don't, I mean, I don't, I don't, I don't, I don't, I don't dislike Kansas. I just they should have about 17 championships.
Feels like it, doesn't it?
Right.
And I don't even know how many they
have. I mean, Duke
has
5. Dean Smith only won 2.
Wow.
Which is nuts.
That's...
Houston, Faislama Jama never won 1. Patrick Ewing only won 1.
Who has the most?
UCLA.
Oh, duh.
But that's a fair question.
Right.
Because, and they've won a couple. No, because Howland got to 50 Final Fours in a row, but they never won it.
Yep.
They did win it in, 95?
Yeah.
O'Bannon?
Yeah. Ty Sedney?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of fun to give the middle finger to Missouri fan on that one.
No, right.
Tomorrow at 4, find us on Hail Varsity. Take care. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you.